I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Somar Mix. What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chewy New Podcast once again. I am Chew is over there. That big thing, how you doing? That's the thing over there. Yeah, I'm back in my great Charles over there. And I got Quez right next. And today's guest, and the reason I'm cutting the intro real quick, because he got a lot of stuff to talk about, bro.
A whole lot of stuff.
And this gentleman right here, introduce yourself, buddy.
Hi, everybody. I have people tuning in right now to the podcast. I want to thank the Chew New Podcast for having me today. My name is Francisco J. Martinez. I am from the Valley. And I have a couple of things that I want to touch and get in basis with here with everybody that I need to talk about. Again, I consider myself a writer. I'm an author of a book that I wrote a couple of years ago. And there's a couple of points that I want to touch, a couple of sports, politics topics, and here with everybody just to talk and get the things rolling.
Yeah, man. So the whole point, I know you've reached out to me last year, I believe, correct? If I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes, it was just when I had just gotten my book published, and I was trying to get it out there,
right?
And now it's I'm more than ready and prepared to say a couple more points and things of what's happened since I released my book. People have asked me, so what I've been doing and what's next for me,
right?
So it's just more of an update, and actually this is just more of a conclusion of where everything's led me up to now. So let's
go ahead. I mean, you're a local resident of the RGV.
Yeah.
We've interviewed a couple of one other author in the RGV who does something for diabetes.
For diabetes and awareness.
He writes a great book about diabetes awareness. But this is a whole different story. On your side, because I mean it started off with if you mind me saying, the loss of your father.
Yes,
it did. And it accumulated, snowball effect into something
way
even
bigger.
So take us from the very beginning. The mic is yours. Let's hear your story, man.
Thank you. Look, I want to start off with, I have a LinkedIn profile that I couldn't go live on, but there's two articles that I want to share. Like I said, I consider myself a writer on my private time. And so you can more understand, this is the article that I wrote. I'm going to try to go pretty fast through it. It starts with, 1 year ago, inspired by my father's death, I wrote an influential book to become a recognized writer. So this is the first article I want to share, and I'm going to try to go straight through it. So it says, it's been a year since I started this epic journey. I sat down one night in my room living in Houston, Texas at the time, and I started to write in this journal. And I was in grief and in pain as the loss of my father still haunts me to this day. It's a feeling that never goes away. You just learn to live with the pain. It definitely shaped me and made me to become a stronger person. It made me realize how short life can really be. My dad meant everything to me. He was my best friend and my hero. I looked up to him as someone I wanted to be when I grew up. Losing him, for me, it was unforgiving, and it was in one flash, one call. It did change my life. It was on a Monday ride to work that I got the call that my dad had passed. Just like that, without a moment's notice, like I had just got hit by a train, he was gone. It will always stay with me, the best memories of him, but it will always hate not being able to say goodbye, of course. So, you know, it was just real dramatic when it happened. It's
something very sudden, yeah.
And it's what still hurts the most. He was just so happy the day before, riding and dancing his horse away in a parade, showing off all townspeople how good of a jockey he was. You know, that was my dad.
Cool.
And like I said in this article, I miss him every day very much. some days more than others. At first, I would call him and leave voicemails and just listen to his voice, letting me know he wanted to talk and to call him back. My heart told me to just think he was busy or waiting on vacation in a better place. But there is no problem, just to be somewhere off the coast of Mexico with some hot bartender dancing.
That's the best way.
Dancing the night away, sipping on some Coronas, you know what I mean? Cheers to that.
Yeah.
I know he's in a better place. Your problems do not exist. I'm at a peace where he is. He died at just the age of 53.
Oh, wow.
I can just say he was a good man and worked very hard to give my mother and my brothers everything, more than he ever had. And we lived in a nice two-story brick home in a good neighborhood in McAllen. He was a devoted Christian and a man of faith with good morals and good principles. Respected among our community, a political figure in our local community as well. He was very outspoken and cared for his people. He tried to give back as much as he could. He unfortunately passed from a seizure in November 2016. I just hope he did not suffer that much. My life has not been the same since. With him gone, he took a piece of me with him. I promised to make him proud the day I buried him. Part of that promise was to be very successful and to give my mom her castle back, which is our old home that we lost. I was inspired and started writing a story about a man willing to sacrifice his own life to end the corruption in his country. I wrote and wrote until I finished it. My hard work dedicated to my father is an ebook that's on Amazon titled Diary of 49. So
wow.
Before I keep going, the point is that I just had this idea in my head of something. If I had everything right done in my life, it's something that I wish would have happened, I guess, to me personally, but I did it. So it's an idea that I had of this person. And like, I guess like the protagonist of the story is Franco Martin, right?
Right.
My name is Francisco Martinez. So it's in a way. And like I said, it's something about the book that I just got it out of my system. I have the skeleton done now.
Right.
But I've reached out to other publishers you can think of all over the world.
Right.
And they've told me, no, let's get an editor. And I reached out to one editor. Her name is, there's one editor that I talked to, and she knows when she sees this podcast. But, money's everything, right? I got it out there. It's, I'm not perfect. I didn't know what it was to write a book at the same time. As soon as I knew that I did this thing, I said, wow, I can't believe I did it. So
yeah, I gotcha.
So I'm like, I put it out there, now I need some help. And the thing is, whatever you see on Amazon, it's just a manuscript. You know what I mean? It needs work. I know whoever's read it has said, hey, of course you have this editor's things here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm just a writer. You know what I mean?
Right.
So my goal has always been get it to an editor. Like the publishers told me, edit it, do whatever you need to do. And after that, once you have your finished product, then come back to us.
Percentage.
And then there's three or four publishing houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, those 1-800 numbers that have reached out to me and have said, hey, well, what do you have? I haven't really gone that far, but I told myself that this year I am going to pay an editor to finish. And like I said, it's just a short book about, and I'm going to keep going here on my article.
Go for it.
And
man,
this year I have had quite a journey. I have not, it has not been without a few headaches. And again, this was in 2018. And sacrifices, of course, I've learned so much and what it takes to be a recognized author. I've not made any attempts to write anything else yet. I want to share my first novel with the world. I've been in contact with many literary agents and I keep getting the same. I'm not interested in good luck. Answer. Well, if it's anything my father taught me after falling plenty of times from a bull or a horse, it was jump right back and never give up. I know what my book represents and how good it is. I know people would fall in love with it and the powerful message it brings about love and courage and never giving up for your dreams and always keep fighting until your last breath.
Right.
I've gone through many tribulations and I have met so many important people along the way that are rooting for me. Many in the media and sports world have reached out and wished me the best. I'm not even close to finishing what I started a year ago with my novel. I'm barely starting to take off running, to be honest. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm already known in the media and sports world, and they know I'm coming. This article is my homecoming. I know what I'm capable of and what I can bring to the table. I want to be given a real chance. I want my book to be in every bookstore, in every school library in the nation and in the world. The main character in my book goes into an Ivy League law school and plays college football, ends up going into the NFL and works in a front office and takes the team to the Super Bowl, plus going into politics and even hitches a ride to space as a mission.
There you go.
Payload specialist with NASA.
There you go.
And will not spoil it too much. I can take a team like the Lions to the big game with my freight train package and do something the NFL has never seen before as a general manager. It's true. I mean, if Bob Beamon held a record for the long jump for 50 years,
if the Giants could beat the undefeated Patriots in 07, whoever's a Tom Brady fan.
But this is the one I love the most. Or how a wrestler, Anthony Robles from Arizona State, with one leg, still went undefeated his senior year and became a champion.
There you go.
I can include so many incredible feats, but it's the one that I have yet to accomplish, or at least that will go down in history. If I just got the chance, I would be happy with that. If I was right, then I would just have to make that would make me a legend, right? My father was really into local politics, which makes me want to do the same in the later future. For me, it comes from the heart. I realize that all this divisiveness going on in this country is not healthy. Racism should not exist in this world. Yeah. We are the land of the free, and our forefathers bled and died to give us that divine right. We're going through so much, and we need to be united more than ever. Like I said, I've always I have politics in mind later in the future if I ever become an attorney and I help my community. And like I said, I wanted to be I am a writing candidate for Congress 15 and 34th District in the 20 districts of Texas. And I know there's some areas in Miami where, I mean, if as long as I'm a writing candidate, maybe that I can win. But it's just some things that I have in mind that maybe I want to, you know, go into politics later on. Mm-hmm. So it's like I said here, I probably announced my writing independent candidacy for Congress this November and every election year until I'm ever able to, you know, be able to, I guess. I guess it takes money. So
yeah
it does.
And the last of it, like I wrote this a couple of years ago, but I guess it's good for me to bring it out because of all the things that happened. I want to give the people a representative they deserve and want. I want to give justice for George Floyd and Vanessa Guillen, and the people want justice for those killed in Vegas, Stoneman Douglas, Hyde in Orlando night. You know, the tragedies that happened in Orlando at the club in Pulse,
right,
in Sandy Hook, El Paso, and every massacre that was not supposed to happen. My point is we need more stricter gun laws. We need more laws against police brutality. We need to fix our broken immigration system and free those, you know, children that were in cages. Like I said, this was written 3 years ago.
Right.
You never think what if those were your children in those cages, you know? And those that perished in those massacres, it's time we stood up and did something about it. All these politicians that say that they're going to do something about it, you know, and it's time that, you know, maybe have somebody more younger in Washington than all these old people, you know, like the president's running right now, they're in their 80s, you know what I mean? We could honestly have somebody. I mean, I consider myself an independent. I have nothing against Trump. I have nothing against Biden, but it's always the same thing.
Right.
We're going to do something about the border, and they never do. It's just more of a goal for them. And my last sentence in my article is my main goal above everything else is to get my book out to the world and become a recognized author. I deserve a chance to make my father proud. I know you're watching me, Dad, and rooting for me, too. So love you, Pops, FJM. So.
That's awesome, bro. That's really awesome.
That was great. That was a great article.
And here I'm thinking, he's going to take 45 minutes to go through all that. Man, you should be a speed reader. But I mean, everything you wrote there, it's beautiful, man, because it's coming straight.
Yeah, it is. Straight from my heart.
From the heart.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and I mean, I can't speak for losing a parent. The thought of it kills me inside.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I know Chu.
Yeah,
I mean, you lost both parents already, and it's very, you know,
it definitely stays with you long afterwards, and
sometimes it takes a tragic event for you to like become what you like. For me, it's more of a it's never too late to do what you want to do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, like right now, I'm applying to law school. I'm trying to become an attorney. And go with everything else that I do want to do. Also, I mean, just touching in politics before we do leave that subject. I mean, there's some heavy things that fill my heart that I think we need to do. I touched a little bit in immigration, and it's just like another thing was this is a heartwarming topic for a lot of people, but it's abortion. And the thing is, what I feel about abortion is it's like, I'm the kind of person that people know that I get straight to the point where I think I can touch people's hearts and say that right now we have so many people that are older that are in politics. And the only thing that I wish, even if I wasn't in it, is it's like okay, everybody has their own body, right? God gave you your body. Exactly. And I believe, like, I mean, this one time, one of my ex-girlfriends, you know, she got pregnant and it was up to her. I mean, I was okay to have it. She wasn't ready. It hurt me. But then at the end of the day, it's like, imagine as a man, somebody told you, hey, we're going to make a law for you to get classed. You have to get castrated by the age of 50 so you won't have any more kids. Of course, you're going to laugh at that subject and say, who are you to tell me what to do, right?
Exactly. Right.
So the only thing I have to say with people in politics, and it's just like, you are your own person. And I believe, I mean, if you're born a woman, you should be able to choose whatever you want to do with your body. And right now, we have that subject up in the air, and I know I'm not trying to get too touchy with it.
Right.
So I just feel like maybe some other people in politics should run. So that should change that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
And it is close to my heart. And it's hard because right now I think in Texas and there's some other places that, you know, doctors can lose their licenses for trying to, you know, do something like that. So, but I'm not trying to say too much in the subject, and we could change that because I know people get too.
Well, it's a very harsh topic. I mean, it is a. It's a spoken topic in a lot of kitchen tables dinners or lunches that are spoken about. It's very touchy, you know, and what you say is right. I mean, it's your body. You do what you want to do with that.
It's a very sensitive subject.
Yeah. You know, and that's why when it comes to stuff like that, I try like, okay, hey, you know what? Let's get that off the table a little bit. Because, you know,
not to say that we don't respect everyone's opinion.
Exactly. We respect
everyone has their own opinion. And you're welcome to it.
But exactly.
It's just a subject that when it comes up, people tend to close their ears and open their mouths.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nothing really positive comes from it.
Exactly. So. Well put. Yeah.
But so, the right people need to bring it up.
Yeah. So, and that note, as far as the book, you say it's already in skeleton form.
Yeah, it's in skeleton form. And I mean, just a rough draft. I mean, mainly, let me go to the Amazon page where I have it.
And if you've already pitched this idea to quite a few, and they've all like, oh, well, we're not interested, or it needs more work.
The thing is that I wrote it and it was more like, what's your idea that you have in your head? And I was able to just write it. And the funny thing is, I wrote it in Spanish because it focuses on a person that, well, here very much I could. So here, when you go on Amazon, I did the title and everything. It's a powerful book that encourages and motivates you to go after what you want, even if it seems impossible. The book is a political fiction that tells a story about a man willing to sacrifice everything, even his own life, for what he believes to change his country. It has a deeper meaning, and my goal is for it to be one of the best political books you have ever read. So,
there you go.
Here on Amazon, it allows you to see the first few pages, right?
They can look that up under what's the name of the book again?
The Diary of Number 49.
The Diary of Number 49, guys.
On Amazon.
Yeah, you might want to go check that out. You know, give it a couple of views, man. I think the more it gets viewed on, as well, they go in there and check that out, because maybe
people will start
eyes look at it. You know, people will eventually say, "Hey, well, let's."
The Diary of Number 49.
Yes, exactly. And I'm just gonna read like the monologue of a little bit about me and what it's about, so that people can know. Again, mm-hmm. It's as soon as you see it, the sample is Diary of Number 49, by Francisco J. Martinez. I wrote this a couple years ago. The first quote is dedicated to my father, Conrad Martinez Jr. The story just started something bigger. I dedicate to my father, the biggest influence in my life. Again, it just gives a short brief about me. I was born in Houston, Texas. My parents are Hispanic. I was raised in Texas, the Rio Grande Valley. My parents were migrants. They always showed me to work very hard for everything and to win everything in life with effort. They were very hard growing up to give me everything I had, like a good education and living in a good neighborhood and two-story house. Mm-hmm. They're migrant workers working in the states up north, picking beets and using a roll call in the hot summer days and the scorching heat since the morning until the sun went down. They sacrifice their lives day in and day out. Many can reflect with their kind of life and know what it is to work hard for your living in the fields. This literature is everything that my family has sacrificed for me and all my hard work. This is an inspirational fiction that inspires to give you the want and chase after your dreams. You will be able to tell from my story that a lot of Real characters' names have been changed for respects to them and to keep this story fictional. I hope you all like my first book. So I can read the prelude right away, so I know what it's about, just to get it out the way. So just what people know. And again, I had wrote this in Spanish in a notebook, and I translated it in English. So it's the year 1963, which just happens to be the year my dad was born. So in the world at this time, a lot of things are going on that were turning it upside down. 100 years ago, before this, it was legal in most parts of the world, and the United States to have a human as a slave. Something that, with just thinking about it, makes you angry and makes your body cringe. In the United States, there's a revolution going on to change civil rights for people of color. Latinos, the president, Johnny Kendall, is battling injustice in his country. Of people of color wanting the same rights as whites and for discrimination to finally stop. There is a massive constitutional argument facing the country in regards to how things were being done at the time, like how only whites could only ride in the front of buses and how they could only eat at some fancy restaurants in towns and attend the best movie theaters. The schools were also segregated from whites and everyone else. This was causing huge waves all across the nation, and one man was standing up to his madness, which was Martin Wood, and with his Jots movement started a war turn what was rightfully gifted to them by the Constitution. It was in the March of 1963 that he gave an important speech dedicated to his dreams that would shift the civil rights movement entirely in their favor. So this is where I come in with my story. Now, the United States was a very powerful country in this story. Their next door neighbor, Mexico, was just as capable and powerful, facing the same kind of problems, having one of the biggest populations in the world at the time. They too had powerful weapons of mass destruction and suffered of terrible immigration problems that invaded their borders from the north and south. This country was in turmoil and facing long-standing political power of corruption by one party that had lasted a half century. One man, Franco Martin, would defy all the odds and want to bring about change to his country, running as an independent to take down the PRE, the Evolutionary Revolutionary Party. He came from a powerful political family from the north and the state of Nuevo León. He is the current governor of the state and the candidate to the presidency. He wrote a diary to his wife and his followers following a tragic assassination attempt. His wife had cancer and suffers of early stages of Alzheimer's. Since she was not able to follow him on his campaign trail in the next 6 months before the election, he decided to write in a diary his life and experiences so his loving wife never forgets him, and for his followers, for his fear of losing his life one day. So,
pretty much
what it is so in the story,
that's deep, man.
so pretty much in the story, it's things that are happening now, but I figured, you know, since people don't write diaries nowadays, right?
Right.
So it's back in the day
when, on Facebook and an Instagram.
When there wasn't internet, when there wasn't anything back then. So just imagine this guy with all the problems that are going on nowadays, you know, saying, trying to legalize things like weed right now. And that I think that if you want, it's a touchy subject, but like my parents that I have seizures, I know. When I went to college, there was a case in Colorado about this girl that had so many seizures. And things like that. And like, so this guy, he's trying to run for president until the book starts. They try to assassinate him. And then he says, you know what? His wife's also forgetting everything that happened. So he decides to write everything in his life. And then up until the point, it's on and off. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I wrote it in Spanish, and you know, it's out there. People have told me that it's a good book, and my goal is just to one day get an editor, pay whatever she needs, or call one of those. Have like this person that I talk to, just to get it out there and maybe publish it one day. And my goal mainly is hopefully I can be an actual author and have my book out there. Yeah. And like I said, these past few years, it's been a project that I just let go. Why? Because, like I said, everything takes money. And I mean, like the editors, I've had editors charge me up to $5,000 to $2,000. I mean, I told myself that this year I want to do it. And like all that said, I'll get around to it. So it's like anything else, right?
I mean, consider the fact doing a book itself. I mean, it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time.
How long it's a lot of creative effort.
How long was that process making that book?
Well, when I did it, I was working at an office in Houston, Texas. I mean, before I get to that subject, it was, you know, when my dad passed away, it hit me really hard. I'm not gonna get too deep into it, but you know, I had to get into a depression, mm-hmm. and it took something of a almost tragic accident that I was like saying to myself, why are you living your life like this? Your dad wouldn't want that to happen.
Right.
So it took that for me to open my eyes, and I'm just like, you know, there's too many things going on in my life here. And I went to Houston, mm-hmm. Which I have good family out there. And it took me more going to work, going home. And also, like, growing up, I always had a form of writing that, like, my teachers and professors would always tell me, hey, you know, there's a way that you can write that, you know, you should use it. There's something that you should do with it.
Right.
And then, I don't know, I just had this idea that clouded my head. And, you know, when you just have an itch.
Yeah.
And I just started writing this story that I had in my head until I was able to just get it out. And it's out there now. But in the process of until I published it myself, 3-4 months.
Wow. Okay.
I was already thinking year.
But the thing was, I wrote it. Look, it was, I'd go to work, come home.
Yeah.
I was writing in just a journal, and then parts of it I just started recording off my iPhone.
There you go. Right.
Parts
there
of the story. Once I did the conclusion, I was like, okay, so I have all this in like just noting in notebooks and everything. It took another whole process. Like I said, it's a story that's based off of a story that this guy running for president in Mexico. But it's all his life that is wish. So his life starts where, and this is something that happened to me, right?
Right,
people that I dated, which made the it's part of my life incorporated in it. But I just changed the names of people that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's more that of so the guy, he ends up going to him. He's in a powerful family. And he goes to Yale because of their influences. I mean, like right now, I didn't apply to Yale, right? I applied to St. Mary's.
But I applied for Harvard.
Princeton. So it's just things that I wish that would have happened to me. The dude becomes an attorney, and he's got people. Like my thing also, once we get into it, I'm a big sports guy, and like this guy becomes is able to get into an NFL team. He starts working his way up, and he becomes an NFL agent, GM, and everything that, you know, that comes with it. And me myself, I've tried getting a job, you know, with the NFL. I mean, that's my dream job.
Right.
And I haven't quite myself gotten my door in there. But I tried, you know what I mean? And my motto is like, if I learned anything, is try. And, you know, as long as it's like anything, I tried making a company in 2020. It failed. Nobody knew the pandemic was coming.
Right.
But it's like, keep failing until it happens. You know what I mean?
Don't
be afraid to chase after your dream. Something I told myself after my dad passed away was,
mm-hmm.
not just become successful, but it's like whatever that I had in mind, that anything that's impossible, it could be possible as long as you keep fighting for it.
Right.
And like I said, my main goal was to try to work for an NFL team. And I've, like, on my LinkedIn, I have like, I try to invite Robert Griffin III. He's in my network. I have the president of the Carolina Panthers in my network.
Wow.
I have Patrick Mahomes, his agent, Lee Steinberg. That I wish he was my mentor. Like I said, I told myself if I couldn't get directly into the league, maybe what is open to everybody is to become a sports agent.
Right.
So that also takes money. You know, you have to, it's like $2,000 to take the test, right? You know, to become certified.
Right.
And I told myself, well, one thing is, okay, what if I do pay the fee, become an agent? But then you're like, well, it's not a for sure. You don't know if you're going to sign a high-profile agent.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So What hit my mind, I mean, I don't know if we've ever seen the movie Jerry Maguire, right? So
you're going to walk out, aren't you? Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me?
So in that movie, he does a mission statement, and his mission statement is called The Things We Think and Do Not Say, right? So in my mind, when I saw that, you know, I had maybe seen it like everybody else, right? And then there's a famous quote in that movie where she says, I had just been slow or something like that.
Exactly.
But that's more the romantic side of it.
Right.
I wrote an article, which is the last one I'm going to share. The way I named it was The Things I Think and Want to Say, The Future of the Business, Open Call Pro Athletes to Hire Me as Your Agent. I'm going to try and go fast through this. Doctor, attorney, sports agent. It's Mikhail in my room at 3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. and I cannot sleep. I have an actor playing on my playlist.
Oh, there you go.
Listening to New York, New York, and thinking to myself, what would I have to truly wake up in the city like New York and make it there or anywhere else, to be honest? But I'll be more honest and get straight to what I want to say and the things I think. This is inspired by a movie of a sports agent that I want to become if this is read by the people it's directed to, and I make my dreams come true. I've been wanting to write this memo for the longest time, and I will not stop until this is done and get everything out of my heart, because once you truly realize that life is short and your time is in this earth is limited, then you finally start to realize, really want to do everything you wanted to do in a short time. It's like, imagine if you get diagnosed with terminal cancer today and you're only given less than a year to live. What would you do with your time left over then? I would think most would love more, get closer to God, and try to do a bucket list of things that they wish that they could do before that final whistle blows, right? I truly hate cancer. It's one of the most destructive things this world has an evil, and it's evil. And I lost one of my closest friends to it from colon cancer, and I really hope that people who say they have a heart would realize that they do not. When if they put their shoes in people with cancer, they would think otherwise. I wish cancer did not exist at all, but the sad truth is that it does, and all you can do is fight and hope God heals each person with it. I have never had cancer, but when I life is not that long is when I lost my mentor, my elder, the person I looked up to the most, my dad. After that moment, I said I could do anything I put my mind and heart to. It's 3:38 a.m. Thoughts in the dark of my room. It really took everything out of me to write the first part. As I listen away to my Sinatra radio and tune away my thoughts and write my heart out. Free as I wish, my dreams finally come true. And I need to also start from the beginning before I keep going. And it's a little bit of what I had already just said, so I'm just going to go through it. Where I say I wore glasses all through preschool. Back in those days, I was an avid reader. I would be in the library every day, and I would get lost in the stories that each different book had in it. It would take me to places outside of my school, into destinations I could only dream of. The school also had a point system, so each book you read would take tests, and it would take a lot of points and stuff like that. Like I said, I was that kid who read all the Harry Potter books, guys.
So what was like
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Let me ask you a question. What was like the best book you ever read as a kid?
Well, I mean, in Spanish, pues es en chingazo. There's these books that I could really connect with. Harry Potter, I'm going to set you aside, so... The Girl in the Milk Carton. It's a series of books about that I can remember when I read it. It's like this girl, I guess back in the day they had, you know, we all went to school. They had milk cartons and they had people girls missing.
Right.
It's a Girl in the Milk Carton, that's the first book, and that's one that would always and that's one of the best books I've ever read that I can really and then there's another series I can keep going, but that's one of my favorite books.
Awesome.
And I mean, if I could keep going or...
Well, right now we're at 33 minutes into the podcast with a lot of information.
My favorite book was just...
The Big Red Dog.
The
Big
Red Dog. Hey, I read those two, man, and the Magic School Bus, too, bro.
That's right. Yeah, just school bus.
There you go, man. Well, we got to take a quick commercial break. Forgive us. Last time we had Mike on the back, I had to erase everything because a lot of stuff Mike, that's not supposed to be there.
I mean, all right.
So
it
slipped out. He wears a thumb.
I am walking out right now. I'm going to take a break myself.
But we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes after this break. So chill out and let's see. Let's pay some bills. How about that?
We're back.
Right. Big shout out to all our sponsors, man, for
keeping the lights on. One
paying
more
the bills and keeping the lights on. Oh my God, it's like a hotel. Was it Hotel 6? Motel 6?
Yeah, it's Motel 5.5. Here,
Motel 5.5.
Yeah, this show.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Just hanging on, man.
Yeah, we appreciate every single one of you guys every week helping us out with basically what you're seeing here on live streaming with our guests that come in and everything and little bits of equipment here and there. But we really appreciate everything you guys do. Quest had to step out because he had to go to the little boys' room.
Wait.
I think he's back. Go ahead. Did you go drop a deuce, buddy?
Was the mic on?
The mic was on.
You left your mic on.
We heard everything.
Oh, boy.
You're not even wearing a wireless mic.
You're going to
drop the bombs.
You're dropping bombs, baby.
You should really see a doctor.
Oh, my God. So on this portion of the podcast, we like to say, shoot the shit. That's basically what we do. We get to know each other a little bit more.
We do?
You already, but, get to know the guest. Inside, not literally inside, but what I'm talking about.
Wow. We get to ask the guest
questions, man. Something he could answer. Anybody have questions for him? He's a big football fan.
Oh, okay.
He's a football fan. So
tell us what you think about the Eagles.
Besides this. Howie Roseman, my inspiration. The guy is something I'm trying to do. He's with the Eagles since he was a young intern when he was going to school. Something I'm trying to do, and he went all the way up to be a GM. And you know what? As much as I hate my list, they went to the Super Bowl twice, and they beat the Patriots.
And we know what happened.
I give him props where it's due. Howie Roseman, I look up to that guy. If you do see this podcast after I put it on my LinkedIn, props to you. And even though I hate the Eagles, but hey, if the Eagles hire me, I'll be a big Eagles fan. Like I told all my friends,
I'll be your best friend.
I'll be best friend. It's like all these football players, you can't always root for them. So what I'm saying is, If I was ever given an opportunity with any sports franchise, I'd be the number one fan. So,
let me ask you a question. Here we go.
Now we're reeling it in. Okay. What do you think about? Oh my God, his name just slipped out of my.
I did.
All right, tell me. Look, with the Caleb Williams, right?
Caleb.
What do you think? Why is he doing all this stuff, dude?
She was not interested at all. Look at that.
I feel there's an ego issue. A shout out to my friend Danny that's a Patriots fan. Now that Tom Brady's not there, I don't know what you're going to do. But let me ask this. Caleb's question that maybe he would be a good fit with the Patriots, but he's not going to go that far. So,
that marker there, too.
Look, so the first pick we have, the Bears. Big issue with they're going to keep Justin Fields. I think his the GM for the Bears. I'm trying to remember his name, but if I was like Justin Fields, he's proven to do it. He's in his people running. Get as much as you can for the first pick. Justin Fields can win now for you.
Yes, he can. Yeah. He's just with the wrong team,
and so yeah. But Caleb Williams has this thing about an eagle thing about him, as in he was there and they're asking him questions.
Yeah.
He's like, well, there's not 32 teams that are going to draft me. Look, he might be the next Eli Manning, where he's like, I don't want to go to the Chargers. And, yada, yada. So drafted him and he went to the Giants. So
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the Bears are going to decide to trade Justin Fields, which I think is the wrong decision. I think that they should just get as much as they can, and whoever wants to really get Caleb Williams. I mean, he is a good player. I think about the first game that he played against UT. He was playing with Oklahoma at the time. Spencer Rattler was a quarterback. As soon as he went out, they did a big comeback. And my team. So,
damn, we had to bring that up.
Caleb Williams has all the talent in the world. I don't like his ego. I wouldn't draft him. Maybe right behind him. I think that the best quarterback in this class is maybe Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner. There's just something about him that I like. And J.J. McCarthy, also the quarterback for Michigan. I saw him play. He was in Rattle in the national championship. But hey, these GMs, they have a job to do, and you know, you never know what happens. I mean, look at Tom Brady. I mean,
the last round,
and right? And then right now you have, you know, the 49ers guy,
Brock Purdy.
I mean, come on, you're just Lance, which is with my
guy of gonorrhea.
They gave up fun for this guy, but just because you did get it right, I mean, come on, it wasn't Trey Lance. It wasn't.
I don't believe they gave Trey Lance a fair chance, dude. I honestly don't.
You know what the beautiful thing about talking about football? Because this is an actual open interview. This is going to go on the podcast. This is going to get linked up. That was these NFL players.
That's right.
NFL
on the teams. Q&U podcast. That's right.
Yeah, Q&U podcast. Yeah,
the Q&U podcast. The Q&U podcast
For interviews.
It's just rocking to the top of the...
No, but this is like a direct interview to see what he has in the NFL statistics.
Something
you're going to be able to show that off to all these NFL teams that are looking for
something of future age.
Somebody wants to work in their office.
Right. Something like that. And look, my thing is this, is that I give props to as an organization itself, 49ers. I mean, they've top to bottom. The ownership has done a good job, because they went from having one Super Bowl team when Colin Kaepernick, I'm a big fan of. I hate everything happened to him, but it's but he Super Bowl team, and then they had Kyle Shanahan. He's been doing a great job and everything, and they have great. I mean, top to bottom. An awesome team. None. I mean, just see if it, Patrick Mahomes, maybe they would have won. So, to having a quarterback that they drafted in Trey Lance, they missed out. And then right now, even the guy that they have, Purdy, I mean, being the last pick, my respects. The guy, he's getting it done. Besides all the critics, the 49ers are the team to beat. The Cowboys team. I don't know if this
shut up, dude. Don't say nothing.
If it's just too much, Jerry, the show. Look,
here's a question for you. What are your thoughts?
It's Jerry.
What are your thoughts about it's Jerry finally reaching out to Jimmy? It's coming to as a
not happening.
What are your thoughts on that? Because I see great things coming.
Then you woke up.
Shut up, dude. I see great things going with Jimmy back in the saddle.
Wake the fuck up, man.
No, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Then he turned off the Xbox.
Shut up, dude.
Turned off his PS5.
Shut your face. And by the way, I don't have a PS5. PS5 sucks. I'm serious. What are your thoughts?
PS5 does suck, but...
Look, my thoughts have always been this. Ever since Jerry Jones bought the team, I think the guy's from Arkansas, right? He's not even from Dallas, Texas. It's that oil money, right? I feel like his first mistake was buying the coach Jimmy Landry.
Tom,
damn right, buying somebody said it, dude. Somebody said it.
That was his first mistake.
Damn right.
And then you have a winning team, and you fire the guy. I mean. Comes to who's the guy we just mentioned?
Feels so good in my
Jimmy Johnson.
And then you fire Johnson. It's like, look, the thing is, the reason we haven't made it in 30 years is because this man has too much power. Look, I just saw the show the Dynasty with Tom Brady. Look, when Kraft, you know, he's the owner. When they had Bill Belichick, and they had Tom Brady when he was still young, and he was taking over. Bledsoe, right? Kraft said, you know what? even though I'm mad at the guy, he's my coach, and whatever he says goes, right? So I feel like from that experience, Jerry Jones never learned. It's like whoever you hire, they didn't make the decisions, not you, man.
Yeah, he wants to take control of everything.
And I mean, I don't know how much, but you know, with Jerry goes right. My respects. Howie Roseman has done a hell of a job that Jerry Jones hasn't done. So that's two Super Bowls in the last what 5 years. So and 2005 sometimes, you know. But you guys already won, and Giants won twice, so I'm a little mad at that. But what can we do? Jerry Jones, let the coach coach, man.
Yeah. No shit, right?
Yeah.
No shit.
Imagine that.
I always notice in every game, bro, the game's about to be over. The ball, like, a touchdown. Touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Jerry to the middle of the field. Yeah, clapping his hands. Stay in the box, man. That's where you belong.
You can come back. Look, it was the fourth quarter. Down three. Dak cannot do it, man.
Thank you.
Bro, please bring me Romo back sometimes, but goddamn, bro.
roll the tape in that Green Bay Packer game. Tell me about the Buccaneer game, but it's okay. Green Bay
Packer. But you know, I'm more respect to Dak. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he deserves the next contract coming.
He's out.
But it's the same thing when I said when we had Romo. Hey, if we're gonna replace him, then who? Give me Tom Brady, I'll replace him.
Dude, I'm gonna say this right now, dude. Jerry Jones, if you're listening,
oh, here we go.
Cut the bullshit.
I don't fucking like the Cowboys, but if you're listening, you want things to go right.
Hire sports media. So
hire Tony Romo as a coach.
Hey, I don't care. He hired Jimmy again. I mean, shoot, he's 80 years old. Our president's 80 years old, so why not?
Wow. I almost. Wow.
Hire Jimmy again. Wow. Man. Hire Jimmy again.
Wow. That came out of left field. But
just like Jimmy Johnson.
It's not, yeah, but yeah, it was good. It was a good hit. Yeah.
There's a lot of good free agents in the free agency pool right now, man.
The draft is right around the corner. I know there's a lot of hot picks coming in. I don't know who. I really don't follow the draft as much as I used to.
I wonder where Saquon Barkley's going.
So
I think the Texans might be one of those teams. That's the number one team, by the way. I was born in Houston.
Guys, the podcast is over. We really appreciate you guys coming out.
I told you that right here.
Oh, my God.
The Spurs. Cowboys. Cowboys.
Don't freaking Astros, because I'm throwing you out right now.
It is Astros.
God damn you, dude. Chew your right. Let's kill it.
Hey, we're in Texas, baby. All you Texas fans, I hate y'all. CJ's good. CJ's insane.
I told him, bro.
I did eat my word, man. I ate crow's feet that day, man.
I told him, bro. Like, something about this kid.
The kid can play.
This next season, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Being a sports fanatic as far as the NFL and stuff like that, is there anything in a side hobby that you do that you like doing on your spare time?
I mean, I do the whole fantasy thing with my friends. And the thing that they hate me the most is that, except for this year, the last 3 years, I always made it to the final.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me, because you have nothing else to do.
You get good picks.
Damn.
You know, you do not pick them.
So, look, the last 3 years, I made it to the championship game. My friends know this. I'm not lying. I lost the last two, but last year I finally won. And then this year was the only one that I didn't make it to the playoffs, but I did not finally make it to the championship. So I think they were happy there.
Okay.
You can't always make
it. Can't win them all, bro. You can't win them all.
No shit. You can't win them all.
And
as far as like any like, I mean, other hobbies, do you like to read? Are you into? Because I know Chu's a big big Marvel fanatic, DC fanatic over here.
Oh yeah, the Marvels. I mean, I watched all the Avengers and everything. I'm barely starting to get into the whole shows on Disney to try and relate to what's happening on the, but there's just too many shows, man. And I think there's this local girl that's already made it into the Marvel universe.
The Echo show, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm ready to start getting into that. But I mean, it's just so many shows, I guess. I'm the ones that they want me to watch. And I'm starting. The, I'm gonna start to watch is Loki. They say
Loki's Loki's really good. Loki's man. Good. Yeah, Loki. I mean, season two came out. I think season two already came out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. Every time I try to get on it, man, it's like I get frustrated. Like, all right, come on, get to the end. What's gonna happen next? Come on.
I'm speed jumping it up.
Yes, hurry up. See what happens at the end. Yeah. But
I'm just waiting for X-Men 97. That's all I'm waiting for, bro.
Already out, dude.
Yeah.
What? No, already out.
What I'm waiting for.
Like last month.
You liar.
No.
The cartoon?
The cartoon.
Yeah, X-Men 97.
Did it. Oh yes. yeah, it did come out. Yeah,
yes, it's out.
I believe BB Boy wrote told me about that.
Go. Yeah,
yeah. The one I'm actually really waiting for is Deadpool 3. That's
I'm waiting for Deadpool 3.
Yep. I'm a big fanatic of Deadpool, especially Ryan Reynolds knocks out of the park, and now with Wolverine with being in there,
come back one last time.
That was gonna be interesting, one, man. I cannot wait to see what those two guys are funny.
Yeah,
best friends. But they play horrible pranks on each other, so I don't want that. But we're at 53 minutes into the podcast, man. We're coming close to the end already. Any last words you would like to say to the public here, man?
Mainly this last article that I wrote. It's more dedicated to me if I could ever make it as a sports agent. And it's trying to reach out to player to a specific player because I have RG3 in my LinkedIn network. And Lee Steinberg, he's the agent for players like Patrick Mahomes. He's done it for 30 years. My thing was this, is if I can become an agent, is like, if I can get, like I said, look, I'm just going to read towards the last paragraph of my article, which I'm trying to reach out to Lamar Jackson. This is my plan. If I can get a verbal agreement that I can sign a player like Lamar Jackson for just half the season or one full year, and he's okay with it, that I can make the money that I'm going to make, you know what I mean? That I can make the money I'll make or even more, is it, this isn't anywhere for any other professional player that believes in me, that already is in the league, that doesn't have an agent, and this memo and wants me to be their agent for a certain little period of time, they choose I'm okay with that, and I can come home with, you know, just like I said, it's like before I become an agent, if I get a verbal agreement from a professional player, high caliber player, then, I mean, it's like saying, like, if you open up a business and you know it's going to work, then you would do it, right? So, and pretty much, like I said, I'm just going to read the last, it's a long article, but the last paragraph is, if I have, I have Lee Steinberg in my LinkedIn network, if I can get him to read this and get him to be my mentor and teach me everything, and he can get me to become a certified agent and sign a player like Lamar Jackson, then that is a start. I know I can do this, and I have the right people in my network to guide me where I need to go. I know it's not impossible. I know that the NFLPA requires me to have a degree, which I already have. If I need to convince the president of the NFLPA for me to be able to get in, like I said, I have bled for this, and I am ready. And I wrote this letter to Lamar, and I hope he reads it. I also have Robert Griffin III in my network. Maybe he can share my this memo with him. Maybe I, you know, hopefully my dream is to become a sports agent. And hopefully, and I pray I have played my case that I can do this. And if not, well, I know in my heart that I try my best, and I open up my heart to whoever's reading this memo and to everybody listening today. My goal is just to show everybody that if you inspire to do something, anything is impossible if you just try. And whatever happens after, I'll leave it in God's hands. And I trust this process for my life. And again, thank you for reading this article if you ever do get a chance. And like I said, God bless and take care of this. So this is just this article. And my main memo is just like, just try it even though you fail. You just never know.
Yeah,
you gotta put it out there in the universe.
Any social media they can reach out and find you, man?
My Instagram, it's Frankie JMTG. On Facebook, it's Francisco J. Martinez. And on my LinkedIn, the same. You should be able to find me through UTRGV, Francisco Javier Martinez. That's mine.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, no problem, man. Having that long story, you told us how it all started and what your dreams are and trying to make your father proud. That's
very good. Appreciate it. Good, appreciate it. Good, bro. And you know, if anything, if I know I'm going to law school, and if nothing else works out, I know that I'll be an attorney one day, and I'll be able to help out my community. So
there you go.
So that's
cool,
it.
Right?
So
there you go. That's what it's all about, man.
Good luck with that, man.
Thank you once again. Yeah. Appreciate you coming out,
guys. This is the end of the podcast today. Actually, next week we're gonna have an early podcast. Probably gonna be on Tuesday. Mm. We're gonna do a Tuesday episode. Not sure the guest is gonna be yet. It might be a solo just to reminisce on how we're going on season 5. See how things are going down, and also talk about the following week after that, which is the big one. That one, stay tuned to find out who the new guests are coming out.
Yes.
I did get invited actually next Thursday to the 9.56 ADB podcast. Ooh. At the Landmark. Wow. I'll be out there with Andy and Johnny SQ out there. See how those guys are doing. So make sure you tune in for that one and see how that goes. Any last words for the guests here, buddy?
Did you know Troy Aikman gave me a high five?
Oh, God. So anyways, guys, thank you for tuning in.
It was this hand.
I appreciate you guys every week tuning into the podcast, man. This week's video will be Vibrant Haven, a rock band here from, I believe, from Edinburgh, McAllen, Texas.
Yes.
Great band.
We don't get copyrights right.
Hopefully we don't get copyrights at all, because last time they just loud man just kicked us the fuck out.
They just kicked us out.
But like I said, guys, appreciate every guys that come in here and come watch us every week. We will see you next week on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
All right. Any last words, Chew? One more time.
This end right here.
No, Troy guy. Guy. Anyways.
Troy Aikman, right here, buddy.
Go right count, guys.
There's a go count. Go Troy Aikman.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
My good buddy Troy, right here. This end.
Dang. So ladies and gentlemen, so thank you. We will see. Hold on. Here we go. There you go. Guys, we will see you next week. And like always,
Ladies Gators! I am a saint. I'm far from perfect. No reason.